Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Dog food out of the cup? That thing is so sacred that no one can lay a finger on it if we haven't won it. But the moment we win it, we're just going to throw it in the ocean and we're going to eat out of it and we're going to do whatever.
Listen, there's an obvious full circle moment here. When you were a kid and you were going to get sick, like you might throw up, did your family use the same bowl as the family movie popcorn bowl?
Should it be your popcorn bowl?
Oh, wow.
If you have it for the day, my son got sick. Sorry, it's a popcorn bowl now.
If the Sabres ever win the Stanley Cup, they bring it in here and you've got to eat popcorn out of it. And then after the popcorn's gone, someone has to throw up in it.
You could even flip the order there, and as long as, again, it gets washed, it's fine.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Hey, huge news before we get to anything. I saw Brian Mazurowski from WBEN with a breaking news report of sorts.
Does this have to do with what I think it has to do with?
You tell me. What do you think it has to do with?
I think it does have to do with the mural in front of the arena.
Alumni Plaza is getting changed.
Yeah, let's go.
Tyler Myers will no longer be on the walkway.
Yeah, I saw the tweet about this yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
From the guy he's quote tweeting, yeah.
Jumbotron, roof, and a 15-year-old mural coming down.
Did you know about the mural part?
No.
We knew about, I mean, they cannot tell us enough about the new scoreboard and the roof. It's like, I'm ready for the new scoreboard. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a peep about the mural or Alumni Plaza. Are we getting brick updates? I saw someone point out recently, you know how the bricks underneath the mural are like every player that's ever played for the Sabres?
No.
I think that's how it works.
It's people that donated to Alumni Plaza, I thought.
I think there's also
bricks. A lot of donations and like in memory of, if you wanted a commemorative brick for someone that was a family member that loved the Sabres.
I think they also have that. I thought they had both. So correct me, because I had seen recently that Remy Ellie was the last brick they put in.
Oh.
Which was, when did he play for the Sabres? A fourth liner from like 6 years ago?
Okay.
Either way, Tyler Myers has been the most recent player on that mural for how many years?
Well, it was Pominville. Did he come back?
Okay, Pominville was on there, yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Yep. 13 years? 12 years? Was it like the year they made the playoffs that they didn't?
I think it was 07.
There were two panes of glass here, by the way. They could have put another player on there next to Myers. They just never decided to, I guess.
It's crazy.
I don't know. Who would they have put up there? They're not also updating it with any more recent players, right?
I don't know. I mean, we've not heard of this project. But they are taking, it appears, they are taking down
the giant mural.
I saw
Here's
someone
Afinogenov and Drury and Miller and Michael Pekka and Hasek. But yeah, no one.
LaFontaine's up there at the edge, least, at least in the photo.
Ready? Let's play a game. Least likely to be placed on the new mural.
Well, we should do second least, because I think we all know what the first answer is probably to this answer.
Who's that?
They're not putting Eichel on the mural.
Reinhardt, Eichel, O'Reilly, Kane. It'll be, you know what they
Maybe they could put a Poso up there.
They could.
I wouldn't, but I don't know. Whatever. They also, I saw someone point this out yesterday. I forgot about this, but I think this is right. Did they not used to put the team picture up on that thing?
Yes, there was a big, long team picture, black and white. I think that's like the 05-06 or 06-07 Sabres. It's a cool picture. They're all hanging out on the bench and like on the ice. It's mid/post-practice. And it was a good picture. To sell that picture, I feel like I used to have it. But they've got to be doing something, because you wouldn't take it down. What's up there now is not bad. It's alumni. So something new, some new version of that is going to go in, you would think.
Yes.
Exciting.
Or the team photo of this year, or they'll put what? Like just the logos or something? Will they hire an artist to do, like there's murals going up on the side of buildings everywhere.
I gotta
do that.
We should reach out. Let's do some investigative reporting and try to find out what the plan is for that.
Or could this be another new Josh Allen Gatorade ad that they're putting up in front of the arena?
When in doubt, throw Josh Allen's
put
face
Josh,
on.
Yeah. Yes.
Put Josh on it.
How do we make people feel good coming into the arena? Put the quarterback up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, do that. That'll work.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe with you. It is Tuesday. We'll talk a little Jags today. Bills and Jags is, Monday Night Football. So this is going to feel like the offseason all over again between a Thursday and a Monday game.
Yep.
We got forever to get to this game, but we'll get there. And we'll talk to Gene Fournette, Florida Times Union, coming up at 8:30 today to see what the story is on the Jaguars, other than Trevor Lawrence saying offensively right now, like, we suck, which is something he said. They're moving the ball, but they're not getting into the end zone. And they lost a pair of games that maybe they feel like they should have won in losing to the Dolphins and the Browns. I feel like it's a dangerous team a little bit, and I would have total belief they can still beat the Bills, but we'll see. So that's coming up, 8:30, Gene Fournette on the Jaguars. Last night's game. Let me give you the report on last night's game.
Okay. Because I fell asleep during the third quarter.
I was ready to go to sleep, and you know, I was in bed, and I kept checking the score, I've got a couple fantasy matchups. And I just, all right, let's see if anything's happening here. Anything I need to know about. And that game, which the Eagles should have won easily, it kept not ending. Man, still not over. Okay, now the Eagles have it. First and 10 at the Atlanta 27, 2 minutes to go. I'm doing the timeout math in my head. What do they got to do here? I got to get one first down, maybe a second first down. Joe, it was so far down the road. Then I'm going to give you one play to illustrate it. The Eagles had a second and one at the two-minute warning.
Okay?
Atlanta has all three timeouts. So start to do the math here. Let's have some fun with a whatever. I'm trying to think of the... There used to be a show, You Make the Call, about Major League Baseball, where they'd give you a scenario. Like, all right, what would I have done here? What's the official supposed to do?
Before you go, the game log says it was third and one, by the way. It was second and 10, Barkley for 9.
Before that.
Before that, because that was at the two-minute warning.
Okay, before that.
Though. Okay, before that?
I think it's before that.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see it. I think it was a third and one.
Third and one.
Yeah.
I guess it's a third and one. The point is, the Falcons jumped offside on purpose.
Yeah, I'm seeing that,
too. The Falcons, there's so little time left in this game. The Eagles are so close to locking this up that the Falcons make a smart move. Jump offside on purpose, new set of downs, time doesn't tick.
Yeah.
The Eagles decline that knowing...
That's smart.
Right, of course.
Yes.
Both teams doing the smart thing.
Wow.
The Falcons, an intentional offside, and I'm watching the Manning cast, which they point out, how many times can you jump offside? And the answer is, I think on the second one, the clock might tick, or there's... I forget what it is. Maybe you lose a timeout for a delay game.
There's an extra punishment.
There's something.
Okay.
But they try to jump offside. They do. They get flagged. And there's Sirianni. No, no, no. Decline. So proud of themselves for declining the intentional offside. They then go ahead and get the tush push and get the first down. And if you're thinking about Atlanta winning this game, aren't you just, all right, well, come on. What could possibly happen that Atlanta could get back in this game?
So they still have three timeouts, though?
Three timeouts, and that's it, because the two-minute warning is already hit.
So now it's first down.
First timeout.
Okay.
Second down. Third down. They pass the ball to Barkley, who doesn't make a catch that he probably could have made, and the clock stops. And just like the Bills and the Cardinals, fourth and three, late, up 3 points, it was a fourth and three. And what did Philadelphia do? The same thing the Bills did. They kicked.
Yeah.
Instead of one first down to win the game, 3 yards to win the game, they kicked. And they kicked the very famous, not quite everybody knows this term, but more and more are learning it, they kicked the field goal of death. We were up three. Now we're up six, and the Falcons get the ball back. Oh, no.
And a touchdown wins it.
A touchdown takes the lead, at least.
Or takes the lead.
Because the Eagles got the ball back and got a chance to get a game-winning field goal, and Hurts threw a pick.
Yeah.
But here's the very, very famous field goal of death. Is it better to be up six or three? It's better to be up three. The Falcons would not have pushed for the end zone. They would have settled for a 42-yard field goal to tie it and force overtime. They had no timeouts. They would have been much more conservative. Instead, they go all the way down the field and throw a touchdown pass to Drake London with 34 seconds left and take the lead. And Philadelphia is stunned. It is not lost on me. It is a fourth and three kick because the Falcons are 0-1. They don't look very impressive offensively. They hit a big play to Darnell Mooney in this game. When the Bills kicked that away to the Cardinals, there was a lot of, well, come on. Kyler Murray, they didn't look very sharp. They weren't going to do that much. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals had scored more points than the Falcons had scored to that point in the game. And here's the Bills, trust the defense, boom, give it to the Cardinals. They make the stop. The Eagles did not make the stop. They gave up the touchdown. And here are the Eagles, Joe. Does any organization get more credit for being smart and cagey and analytics-driven than them? And their head coach kicks the field goal of death at home on Monday Night Football against a team that was basically so far gone they had an intentional offside.
Right. They, by the way, it's surprising, too, because they went for a fourth down. Was it on the first drive that they went for it? They went on fourth and four from the Atlanta 9 in the first quarter. And I have not checked Twitter on this, but there were a bunch of, who was it, Albert Breer, Michael Lombardi, right? Like, you got some people out there in football media, football Twitter, that are, hey, there's nothing wrong with just taking the points there.
Right. I saw Michael Lombardi say, what's wrong with 3 points?
Right. Which he could have said, you know, when the Bills scored a touchdown on Thursday night with James Cook on a fourth and four, or whatever fourth and three. I haven't looked. Are those people doing the exact same thing with the fourth and three at the end? Like, oh, see, if you'd kicked the field goal in the first quarter, then that field goal actually wouldn't have been the field goal of death. It would have been the field goal for the win. If you just go for it all the time, though, you know, your odds are you're going to get one of those two, and you're going to win the football game. And by the way, this is part of the math equation on it, but it doesn't often come up. The Falcons need a touchdown to take the lead with a minute 39 to go. You're also, by kicking the field goal, you are gifting them a 20-yard play.
20 yards because of the new touchback.
Yeah. They get the ball to 30 on the kickoff.
Instead of the 10.
And that's got some value, too, is that they have to go the length of the field almost to get that on you.
Just to get a tie.
If you don't get it. So the numbers on that from ESPN last night analytics were 95% win probability for the Eagles had they gone for it, and went down to 90.2 by kicking the field goal.
So 5%
They lost 5%.
Now, one thing, and here's Sirianni.
In one decision.
Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles, he blamed Hurts. Low-key blamed Hurts.
Did he?
Hurts on third down when he threw that ball to Barkley, who dropped it. Sirianni said in postgame, there's a mechanism in the play that if it doesn't look good, then Hurts is supposed to just sit down and take the sack and keep the clock ticking, and then they would have kicked. Then they would have kicked like on a fourth and eight with 30 fewer seconds left for the Falcons. But in that scenario, you were still kicking the field goal of death.
Right.
This is such a good illustration of this field goal of death, the phrase that's been popularized about this idea. If you're watching this game as a Falcons fan, the only thing you want, just give us the ball back. I know my offense might not look good. I know that Kirk is airmailing balls into the end zone, which there's a pilot of that. He had open guys and just missed them all. Just give me the ball back with a chance. And the Eagles, here they are. Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here you go, Kirk.
2 minutes
to go.
We dare you. We dare you to score. And then he did, by the way, with 34 seconds remaining on the clock. So how much do we buy that Hurts not sitting down to take the sack actually even affected it? Maybe it would have been a little tougher. Maybe they would have scored the buzzer instead of they would have scored at 34 seconds left.
Maybe.
They got down the field in a minute. Took them a minute five.
Yep.
To go from the 30 to the end zone. So, I don't know.
It was a Buffalo Bills drought loss for the Eagles. That game, if I took the play-by-play game script of the final 2 minutes, that game would slide seamlessly in with the most famous drought moments of all time, with the McKelvin fumble in New England, which was the anniversary that was this weekend, slide in there with Dallas, slide in there with the Browns game they lost on Monday Night Football when they missed a kick. All of your worst, how could you do that? How could you possibly find a way to lose a game when your win probability was 95%? Actually, it was higher than that. Because before that play, Joe, the Eagle, according to ESPN's model, the Eagles' win probability got to 99.3.
Wow.
With the ball.
With the ball? Yeah.
99.3. Pass incomplete, kick the field goal of death, loss. You love to see it. I love to see these Eagles lose. I love it.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of their whole thing.
Well,
right?
to borrow something from you, they are for 3 years now, and thank goodness. All right, don't totally quote me on this one, but thank goodness they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, because they would have been a bad team to win it. It would have been one of the luckiest teams ever to win it. That Super Bowl run, of course, included beating Daniel Jones in the playoffs, then beating the 49ers, who didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like, oh, the guy was bad. Two injuries to their starting quarterbacks, Brock Purdy needing Tommy John surgery, handed the ball off a bunch of times.
Right.
That was their NFC Championship game. And then they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And what happened last year? They collapsed. As complete phonies.
Yeah.
The Eagles for 2.5 years have been kind of fake good. They have exploited the tush push, of course. That helps them be good.
Yeah.
You know, they only need 9 yards for a first down. But man, last night is an all-timer. I hope that coming across our feeds today, we'll try to find some. We get some Philadelphia rants. We promised you know, now with the Bills kind of good, we don't get all these, we don't get to flex our rant muscles, and somewhere out there, we've got to be finding a real good look at rants. And Philadelphia is a prime candidate to have a rant from last night.
Philadelphia overreacting to something that can't be possible. the coach too. I can't imagine. Like, I'm sure it'd be interesting to hear like a rant on it. Like, who are they ranting against? Because Sirianni makes the call on the field goal of death, and Sirianni at the end, right? Like, first coach fired odds. Shouldn't he be near the top? Because he already had the power to hire his own coordinators, I think, kind of stripped away by forcing him to hire Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. He doesn't call plays for them. There's rumors or there's reports even out there that he and the quarterback do not get along. So, what is... And now if he's kicking a field goal to go up six with a minute left, like, what is that guy really doing for me?
Yeah.
He's not calling plays. He's not... him and the quarterback don't get along. He didn't even pick his own coordinators. Just, he's doing this now. Like, game management is, like, all he's really doing. Or he's, like, the CEO-type guy on the sidelines. But I don't know. I think maybe that starts with the coach there. I don't think the quarterback is amazing. I think he's pretty good. Like, I like their weapons. I like that they invest in receiver. They have two highly paid receivers. That might be the team, by the way, where you look around the league and like, hey, who's got some of the best receiver duos in football? Isn't their whole thing in the last few years kind of propped up with they got two guys that get open on like every play?
Yeah.
Like, their quarterback's pretty good, and they have one of the best receiver duos in football, and that really drags them. Those two drag them along, I think. A lot more than most receiver duos. Maybe Miami's on that level too. The Eagles. I don't have like a disdain for the Eagles.
Oh, I do. I got it.
Not like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's
nice and strong. I've got it for the Eagles. It's nice to see them lose. It does go back to that NFC Championship game where they got a free pass into the Super Bowl, and then the following year
was it, Zach Gelb got after Debo about, are you going to send a message to the Eagles fans? And he didn't want to answer that question, so we hung up on him. And then they went into Philly and hammered them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's because of my little flirtation with the Niners that I hate the Eagles, but I've got a little bit of a flirtation with the Niners. Like my NFC spouse in the league.
Well, because, you go back over 5 years and wouldn't you typically hear those two teams mentioned in the same sentence? Like, who have been the dominant teams of the NFC?
Yeah. And the Niners are just coached so much better. So much better.
Yeah.
And then again, the Eagles have lost a bunch of coordinators. I mean, Shane Steichen's in Indianapolis.
I think that loss might be the one that really, really crushed them. Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. There's your recap on last night.
Real quick, Kirk Cousins, though, like, better numbers, but I don't know.
He can't move.
He's still...
To me, he looks like Rodgers, which is he'll have his passes, and he'll be better than a guy like Bryce Young or Bryce Young or Zach Wilson or Joe Flacco when he was with the Jets or Mike White.
He won't be careless like Levis out there?
Sure, but... There's a ceiling. There's a ceiling on what Cousins can do. I went into the season thinking the Falcons would be very good. Maybe they'll find a little bit more of their offensive flow. But if your quarterback can't move really at all, and Troy Aikman made a comment before the broadcast saying that Kirk Cousins told him he doesn't feel 100%. He's not 100%, but he feels 100% in the pocket. That's what Cousins said. I'm not 100%, but I feel 100% in the pocket.
I don't know if I buy that. He misses throws that look pretty easy.
Even if you do buy it, it's not going to work. Oh, I feel great in the pocket. Oh, all right. Well, so, guess what?
It's 2024, dude. Like, you can't really get away with that the way you once did.
You're going to need to do some stuff outside the pocket. And for teams that can't at all, I mean, that's Rodgers right now.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll move it a little better as the season goes on, but... It's tough to take an offense that is limited like that seriously. Maybe that's just, the Josh Allen viewer speaking. But what's one of the reasons we don't think about Tua when he's healthy as a guy at the top level? It's because out of the pocket and out of structure, you just don't get as much as you do from some of the better ones.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Could be why passing's down, too, in a way. You've got a lot of rookies playing right now, and you've got old guys that used to be putting up massive numbers that now look like, oh, they're going to be more like game managers.
I do think a lot of the points, listen, defenses are better at limiting big plays, and there's a lot of numbers about where the league is right now, but I do think a lot of it is driven by quarterback play that is just not that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to compare 2024 to 2020, let me get four quarterbacks in the 2020 league that are not here now. Am I looking at like peak Rodgers, peak Brady? Was Breeze still playing in 2020?
Maybe.
And now, I've got
Cousins would have been putting up 4,000 plus easily.
And now I've got quarterbacks the caliber of Bryce Young, Malik Willis is playing.
Bo Nix
was terrible. You just have a lot of
Jones.
Daniel Jones, Caleb Williams has had a rough start of it.
Yeah.
So,
right, how many teams have a quarterback in right now where like they're kind of they're figuring it out?
Will Levis.
Levis is that. Fields is that a little bit, right? Jones is that.
Is it 10
Watson
teams?
Watson is that in Cleveland. Is it 10 teams? It might be. Richardson is kind of a rookie, right? Like he had a bad week too. That was his fifth road game. College plus pro. It's incredible. Yeah. Not really that experience, so it didn't look good, but okay, that's maybe why. I mean,
I think it's a point in there that running for quarterbacks is happening more, and the passing game for these quarterbacks, you've got guys more than ever maybe learning on the job.
And also Justin Herbert hasn't had to throw the football yet.
That's true, yeah.
So him having 130 yards per game is probably, that's probably going to go up. I would imagine.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe. Good Tuesday morning. It is Tuesday. Yes, it might be tough to figure out what day of the week it is because the Bills played on Thursday of last week. It's already forever ago. They should play again. This Thursday, we've got Patriots-Jets, which...
Okay. AFC East.
Is the Jets season about to end? They lose to New England, which...
Right, that'd be funny.
Maybe they could lose to New England. That'd be fun.
New England went to overtime and won week one, so... Not they've got 3 points in the NHL so far through two games. The Patriots do.
803-0550,
and 1-888-550-2550. You can join us if you want. We'll chat plenty about the Bills, of course, coming up, but wanted to get that that recap for you. Your emotion of the peak, how on earth could the coach have lost that game for this team? That's what happened last night in Philadelphia. It was wonderful. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Darnell Mooney one-on-one at the bottom. Cousins looks right. Has a man! Touchdown, Drake London! And we are tied with the extra point to come.
And that was not any old extra point. 15-yard penalty on Drake London for celebrating the go-ahead touchdown with less than a minute to play. Is it a rule if you do a gun celebration you have to get flagged? Because it looked like he kind of shot a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Is that a Tommy gun?
With the two hands like that?
Like, yeah. Right?
I think that's probably right.
He got flagged for celebration. And, yeah, that's what I've got. You cannot celebrate with gun gestures.
Yeah. In the last segment, we were talking about the passing a little bit. And, like, hey,
What was Rodgers doing in 2020? What was Cousins doing in 2020, 4 years ago? Some of these guys that have aged out a little bit that are just no longer in the league. So through two games this year, there are only five quarterbacks that have thrown for 500 total yards.
Okay.
In the first 2 weeks. And the number one guy on that list is Brock Purdy at 550 yards. In 2020, number one in the league was 727,
oof,
which was Josh Allen, by the way. And there weren't five quarterbacks that had thrown for over 500. There were 20 quarterbacks that had thrown for over 500, including...
That is the COVID year when there's no defense, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no crowd noise. You would think the COVID year would be
okay,
offenses
yeah.
have complete freedom to do whatever they want.
That might be right. Would this be too tough for trivia? Guys that threw for 500 in those first 2 weeks that don't start anymore, that aren't playing right now?
Like Jameis.
Jameis, yeah. Carson Wentz threw for 500. Is Minshew on this
list? He is playing right now. He is.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's Deshaun Watson with a big number. Cam Newton.
Yeah.
For New England, threw for 552. Rivers, 577. Teddy Bridgewater, 636. And then Matt Ryan, 723 yards in those first 2 weeks in that year. The crowd point is maybe a good one, though, about the differences.
Yeah, every offense was able to do whatever it wanted.
Yeah.
Check to this, check to that, do whatever you need to.
Allen, 727 yards through two games that year.
Yeah.
Man.
He might have 600 this year if they needed him to. But again, we've seen two games,
right?
And in the second game, they didn't really need him. He had short. Chris Brown made the point about short fields.
Yep, that's right. He threw his 15th. I think it's he threw his 15th pass attempt with 7:30 left in the second quarter, and he threw four passes the rest of the game. So, if that he was maybe tracking, I think it's why the Bills' like neutral situation pass rate actually went up last week, because nothing after like the 5 minute mark of the second quarter counted, because they were like their win probability was like 90% from the James Cook run on. So for those numbers, like more than half their game didn't even count, and Allen would have ended up with, instead of 19 attempts, if the Dolphins had pushed them on offense, he might have ended up with 38 attempts in that game easily. Yeah.
One thing from last night's game, the Monday night, are the Eagles and the Falcons. I don't want to put a Twitter poll up about this, but we could. The Bills score a touchdown to tie the game with 34 seconds left. There's a celebration penalty. Tyler Bass comes out for a 48-yard extra point. How do you feel? I'm not trying to get after Tyler Bass, but
yep.
I saw yesterday you were tweeting some stats about this, and
yep.
It's kind of funny that maybe I'm just this blind spot to kickers because I'll admit I'm too obsessed with offense and I want the Bills to score 50 every week. And I know that's probably not possible,
mm-hmm.
but my goal would be score 50 every week and go for fourth downs. And, you know, you've got Josh Allen. Let's lean all the way into the offense. But the Bills are going to need kicks from Tyler Bass. And 48 yards, I don't know how you'd feel about that. The number of kickers, it kind of was jarring to me to find out yesterday that the league – were there any 50-yarders last night? I mean, you had the...
I'll find out. Not that I remember.
Because going into last night, the league was 34 of 39 from 50.
There was no... 39 was the long yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. 34 of 39 from 50.
Yeah.
Kickers are so good.
All right. So when Tyler Bass is... You know, from that distance, the number I had was he was 63%. Like, there are kickers that are 20 percentage points better than that.
Yeah.
From that distance... By the way, worth mentioning with those numbers, there could be a little bit of a Buffalo effect for that, right? Weather being different than a guy that plays in Detroit who's kicking
all right.
14 of his 17 games are indoors, right? Well, and I'm not saying that's worth 20 points difference, but it could be a small difference.
It helps, right.
Yeah.
We need venue adjusted.
Yeah, maybe. But either way, like it's not to completely destroy the point. Like Bass is not as good from 50-plus as a lot of other kickers in the NFL are. So, all right, 48 yards.
How would you feel?
I don't know. I feel like it...
I mean, that was outdoors last night.
Yeah, that's right.
How would you feel?
I mean, I feel like it's a coin flip. By the numbers, I feel like it's a little bit better than a coin flip, but my vibes going into the kick is it's a coin flip. I'm nervous about him making a 48-yard field goal or a 48-yard extra point to win a football game. He just missed a 45-yarder on Thursday night. He missed, you know, the Chief one. He missed one against Pittsburgh. Like, there's a lot of misses on the top of the mind.
He missed one in Philly last year.
Right. He, though, has yet, in my opinion... I guess the Eagle game was this a little bit. I was about to say, like, he's really yet to cost them a game for me. At least maybe at the buzzer like that. Like, at the end, he's got a kick on his foot.
And he just blows it.
And he misses it.
He doesn't have a what's the Vikings guy?
Oh.
Blair Walsh. He doesn't have a Blair Walsh miss.
Wasn't that one, like...
Double doink?
Wasn't that also, like, 30 yards? Like,
maybe.
It was a really short one. Yeah, he doesn't, like... I remember even a Steven Hauschka miss at the end against Cleveland in like 29. They're at Cleveland and he has a kick to win it at the end and he misses. Like, I remember him missing one from that area. I don't remember Bass with the game on his foot at the end missing a kick. Where like the game is it's down to this kick one way or another. Again, the Chief loss is not that for me in the playoffs because I just had no confidence that they were going to stop Kansas City in a minute 20 from getting 35 yards to get into field goal range.
I'm looking up kicks that he's made, like thinking back kicks that he's made. The first one I thought was Detroit. Remember that throw, Allen to Diggs?
Oh, yeah.
In Detroit? How far was that? It was 45 yards to win at the buzzer.
Okay.
You got that one.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I don't...
He had one against the Dolphins here in when the playoffs? Snow in the stadium. No, end of the regular season.
Oh, that's right. It was...
But that kick was like 30-something.
Okay.
Probably.
In the snow.
I was pretty sure.
In the snow.
Yep, in the snow.
It's tough. It's tough. I fully understand any Bills fan or any Bills coach that right now thinks he's got to get it back. He's got to get the mojo back. Sometimes you just... This happens. We always want an explanation for this, and like, well, if you're not cutting it, you got to go, right? It's not quite the same as Marvin Harrison didn't run fast. Is there a problem there? And then the week later, he ran fast. Because Bass has done the job. But of all the jobs in the league, you know, you're not really, well, it's the offensive system, that's the reason. Or his weapons got hurt, or this or that. You know, the only thing we think about with Bass and kicking is, well, there was Holder gate for a while there, right? Who's going to win the punting job based on who holds better?
Yeah,
because it's important to have a good holder. I fully understand fans that would be nervous about Bass, and I just don't know if the Bills would have any sort of idea to do anything about it.
I don't even know what they can do about it.
No.
They'd have to roster two kickers.
Right. Mike and Kenmore. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
So, yeah, you know, that playoff miss looms big for me. He missed a big kick in a big game. And when he steps up to kick, there's no other player on the Bills team where I think, like, oh, if they're in, this is questionable whether or not this is going to happen. Like, we don't think that about Allen. We don't think that about our receivers. Everybody's solid. Every time he comes up, and even the people that sit around me in the stands, we all look at each other and we say, oh, here we go. Let's see what happens this time. The two kicks, you know, maybe this wasn't him at the end of the game. You know, the kick that went out of bounds at the end of the game and the one that didn't go into the end zone that they returned for a touchdown. If those are special teams calls, I guess, okay, that's on the special teams coach, which is a whole other topic that I can't get past is the special teams calls on this team. But, I mean, if he kicked that ball out of bounds, that's on him. If he couldn't reach the end zone on the kick, that's on him. I just... It reminds me of, and I hate to say this, when I used to watch Sabres hockey, and there'd be shots from the blue line on Ryan Miller, and you're like, okay, this is going in. Like, same thing with Tyler Bass. Anything over 50 yards, I'm thinking he's missing. And last week in the Kansas City game are huge in my mind. I just, I don't have confidence in him. I think that every other team that's solid has a fantastic kicker, and I think we should be looking for that. We should strive for the best, not just for, okay, we got a guy that can make it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, as you know, we'll get a break in here, but maybe we should dig more into this. Maybe it's the Mahomes factor that makes me not care about that kick.
Mm,
if that's
me too.
If that's a kick against the Steelers and it's Mason Rudolph, like, that's a problem. You lost the game there. And the game situation is the same. Like, you give me that same scenario, 4th-and-9 to tie the game late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like,
It's funny, Mike. Like,
Mike's almost kind of saying though, like it's not up to Bass what the game situation is.
That's right. Like, yeah, he kind of makes a point here. Like, that was a big kick in a big moment, and he missed. And that is undeniable. Even if in my heart I'm thinking, I don't care if he makes this. Mahomes is going to drive them down. Harrison Butker is going to make his kick. So that's one that, you know, you might not have loved your chances to hold off Mahomes there, but Bass's miss made sure you didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
And all you want is a chance to.
There are 24 kickers since Bass entered the league that have kicked 100 kicks in the NFL. He's better than two of them in field goal percentage.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like the numbers, kicking, I think, is more about, you could just, it's a number on a piece of paper more than any other position. Like, other positions, like, okay, it can be tougher. You don't always know the play call. You don't always know the player responsibility. You don't know with a receiver, the quarterback factor, right? Did he run the right route? Did the quarterback airmail? And we just forgot about it because that happened in week 3 and now it's week 10. Kicking's easy. You just look at the percentages. That's it. How good are you? It's right there, front and center. And there are 24 guys that have kicked 100, and he's the third worst. Like, that's not great.
Hey, at least it's not the Will Levis lateral to Tajay Spears.
Whoa. Week 2 doinks. His coach, by the way,
got after him.
Good. Man, he did it in postgame, too. Like, he's got a comment about how, like, yeah, he did this last week, too.
Yep.
Like, man. Really? Hey, I know he maybe deserves to be thrown under the bus a little bit.
It's
but
not even thrown under the bus. It's just actual honest evaluation in public forums, which we don't see from NFL coaches.
That's the thing, right? You never see that from a coach.
Yeah.
Which, on some level, I can appreciate.
All right.
On another level, I feel like it's probably tough if you're a Titans fan this morning about that coach and quarterback.
Bills, Jags coming your way Monday. The Jags 0-2. Bills opened as 4.5-point favorites. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 is our number, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. Hey, good Tuesday morning. Just want to shout out everyone out there that is dealing with a real tough fantasy loss based on the Eagles kicking the field goal of death and not just locking up a game that was basically over. I don't know anybody like that, personally.
No, you don't?
Oh, that's right. I beat you by 0.5, thanks to Drake London's touchdown.
Sirianni, really? We couldn't just go... Had it in the... How many points was it up? 6.5?
You were up
7?
6.5, and he scored 7.2 on the final drive.
6.5-point lead with 1:30 to go, and the Eagles have...
Third and three. Run the clock. The Falcons had no timeouts.
Oh, my goodness.
They passed it, and they kicked. The only way for you to lose would have been for Drake London to find his way to a touchdown, and he did on, like, you know, 34 seconds.
Five. Right. It couldn't have gone to anybody else.
But think about
Is Kyle Pitts scoring touchdowns in the National Football League?
He had a bunch of catches on that. He had a bunch of catches in this game. He's getting some targets.
I need touchdowns.
Ray McCloud had, like, what, 16
Ray
targets
Ray
last
McCloud
night?
Is being featured like he's Justin Jefferson as a part of that offense.
That is a funny revelation for the Falcons. But 0.5?
Yeah, 0.5, tough
one. It was a 33-point deficit going into the night with Bijan and Drake London.
In fairness,
wow,
our websites that we used did forecast me to win by like 0.2,
yeah,
and I won by 0.5.
They ended up being pretty good.
It's pretty close.
You know what this means, though? Wednesday morning means stat corrections. We have to keep an eye on that somewhat. All I need is a Jordan Mason run that they look back and go, actually, you know, that wasn't quite sideways. It was forward. We're going to give him a reception on that play. And then, bam, the Van Buren boys are in the win column.
Stat corrections.
Stat corrections.
Stat corrections should not happen in fantasy football, period.
Why not?
End of story. Game's over. They don't go back and correct a score in these games. The game's over. We're on to Cincinnati. It's the next week.
But this would be like,
no.
If the field goal went through the uprights and they didn't, the refs got it
they
wrong.
They would
and
not
then,
change it.
They should, though.
They wouldn't. You don't get that changed. Oh, actually, the clock should have run and the game should have ended.
This is where fantasy can improve upon real sports because I would have more points than you, but you would still get the win. I would go back to the scoreboard and my number would be higher, but I would have the loss.
Sure, let's do that.
That's a terrible idea.
803-0550, our phone number. Teddy Bruschi on Tua. If you haven't heard this clip, it's really good about Tua's decision, what he's going to do. And we should talk about it as well because, you know, as viewers,
he comes back, what are you supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? 803-0550. Happy Tuesday. It's Jeremy and Joe. It's going to be 80 again. It's just nonstop 80s. How many days in a row?
It's a warm fall so far.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. All right, you can give us a call if you want. We're hanging out on WGR.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.